Good morning, YK Delta and beyond.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. It's going to be a beautiful day, looks like, out there. I see some blue sky.
This is another edition of Talk Line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Diane McGachran, and with me is...
And I'm John Active. Good morning.
Good morning. And this is the show where you, the caller, can call in and tell us about anything that you'd like. And I think they're going to... Oh, they're going to switch my mic. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Go. Different mic.
Much better.
I don't know if we'd want a whole show without hearing Diane, but maybe we would.
No, I wouldn't.
Anyway, welcome to Talk Line. And this is where you, the caller, can call in and share your point of view on anything, or you'd like to comment on anything that's in the news in our region.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome to do that.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on. So I'll give out the numbers real quick. They're 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. You can also email us, and we will read your email over the air, and you could do that through radio@kyuk.org.
And you can call in anonymously.
Anonymously.
Am I on or not? I don't think I'm on.
Carolyn? Can you do a check there? Can you hear John?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can.
Oh, good, okay.
Okay.
And you can call in.
Oh, no, now we can't.
Now we can't.
Okay, there we go.
Might be the mic, okay.
Oh, well, you're good now.
Yeah, so you can call in or email us anonymously.
Okay, and we have our first caller.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise here. It's John. Good morning, John. Hi, John. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Just saying how you guys are doing.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We might be leaving pretty soon. Anyway, last week I haven't been calling in for a couple. Last week I missed out, too. Busy hunting. Anyway, I've been hearing through one of the callers that the moose population here is getting kind of, growing really rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking they should maybe open the moratorium for a little longer and have a little more quota on the moose.
The plural for moose is meese.
That's what you call multiple.
Meese.
Anyway, they should try to control that. It's going to be like Russian mission. They're going to, if they don't keep it under control, all these moose will eat their habitat,
Uh-huh.
They'll eat all the remaining food they have around. They'll probably could starve themselves if they don't keep it under population control.
Mm-hmm.
They should.
Yeah.
Somebody said they should open the quota a little more.
So raise the quota.
Yeah.
You know, I think we 2 weeks ago we had a caller who wanted to suggest that as well.
Yeah, wow. I heard through sources that you did. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That way you'd have them under control. Otherwise, they're going to just eat the habitat right away.
Poor, after we didn't have any moose for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
They're everywhere.
Now we've got to try to keep them under control so they don't dissipate on starvation.
Right. Yeah.
And that'd be a good idea if maybe one of these years they can open the moratorium a little longer, a little more quota that we can have control here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be get out of control like Western Mission. You can shoot anything you want,
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't want that. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you had it, you'd have to use that tactic.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to wish everyone a real good, safe weekend. And if you're out there boating, please let people know where you're going. Please don't drink and drive. And have a good, safe weekend. I'll be leaving in a couple hours, too. We're going Western Mission, going moose hunting.
Wow.
So, anyway, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, good.
Been anticipating the last couple of days, been waiting. Didn't.
I think the weather's going to be better this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, boy, you're the one there.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I don't want to jinx
everyone. Okay, everyone, please have a good day and safe one.
Thank you. You too.
Be careful when you're hunting out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't drink and drive and be responsible. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
You're welcome, you guys. Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. So next we have Wilson Green. Good morning, Wilson. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, this is Wilson.
Hello.
It's really beautiful, KYUK. Oh. Diane McEachran. I'm just picking up my mom. Anyway, I wanted to let people know that I think the best way to live when you're staying sober and drug-free is to be a helper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Help your mom out every day you can, and help the people around you. You know, even if they may have let you down in the past, just don't give up on the people in your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on being good to them,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. So you have no reason to have guilty conscience or anything like that. That's my encouragement for today. No harsh words toward the Bethel Police Department. I know they're trying. I hope that police chief does a good job of making changes. I'll be better protecting the community of Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, okay. Wilson. Well, we do have a lot of things going on. You know, on Facebook, I noticed that Casey McDonald had maybe her dad build her a little outdoor library, and she put books in there.
Oh, that's
for
cute.
Anybody to
borrow
a book and bring some and put them in there.
That's really sweet. Where is that?
Back where they live, back here on, where is that?
In City Sub?
No, not City Sub, on the highway somewhere. I hope she calls in, tells us more about it, because one morning they woke up and it was gone. All the books were gone.
Oh, someone had taken all the books.
Through the little library. It was a cute little library.
Somebody stole the books and the library to go. Oh, no. Okay, wow. Return the library to Casey. All right, we have James on the line. Good morning, James. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, good morning to all, to the people of Waikato Delta, and both of you, too. Good morning to all. This comes from Chivac.
Wow, thank you.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Morning.
Bye.
I like the morning greeting from Chivac.
Yeah. They always call us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little welcome.
When they hear us on the radio or hear KYUK, we broadcast at KCUK in Chivac. He always calls in and says, "We're loud and clear and everybody good morning."
That's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, James, for that. Well, you know, this Saturday, tomorrow, there's going to be a swim meet.
First ever, too.
Yeah, friendly. Friendly swim meet. I think it's the Nome Swimmers are coming.
Wow.
They're swimming down the Bering Coast, and they're going to take a flight in from...
Oh,
just kidding. Anyway, they're going to be here tomorrow. The swim meet is from 9 to 4:30, maybe to 6:30 at the YK Fitness Center. If you've never been to a swim meet, they're a lot of fun. I used to be a competitive swimmer in my younger days.
Huh.
And, they're a lot of fun, so I'm going to drop by, kind of have some flashbacks to my own competitive swim days.
Mm-hmm.
They need some donations. I'm not sure what kind of donations, maybe
monetary.
Snacks.
Monetary.
Oh, money. Okay, they need money. And you can go to bcsfoundation.org. That's the Bethel Community Service Foundation. So it's bcsfoundation.org. And you can click on Lifesaver, and from there you'll donate... and a donation will be made in your name.
Yeah, I got one. I got a donation, but somebody from back there got to pick it up. I can't bring it up stuck here. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's a money order for $25. That's all I could afford.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
But,
okay.
I do have a donation if somebody would pick it up for that swim meet.
Okay.
First ever.
John Active at KYUK has a donation in hand.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mike on the line. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, I wanted to be anonymous, but...
I'm sorry.
Good morning to...
who is that last man?
I have no idea who this
John
is.
Good morning.
I made some sourdough pancakes this morning, I'm in good shape.
Fall time is...
I still have to hunt for moose up in below Antioch. You know, my grandma grew up in Crow Village, and our relatives up there in Joachbalik have been very great. My aunties, uncles, and cousins, and everybody up the river, and up in Aniak and Galskags. But anyway, I just wanted to make two quick announcements. I'm going to be going over to the Kuzovac Economic Development Summit in Mountain Village on September 18th and 19th. All the big names are going to be there in Mountain Village, and we're going to be talking about how we can boost up the economic poverty that we live with down here in this area. Used to be known as Wade Hampton, but they changed it. but anyway, it's going to be a good one, and I'm going to be speaking on tribal government issues that we are dealing with at the local level, and a lot of tough issues that we deal with in our villages with lack of public safety and with limited resources that we have. But we're doing as best as we can, and with things like this Kuzovac summit, I think we can pool everybody together to have the next generation not experience what we've experiencing in Western Alaska for a long time. I know we've been struggling along economically. You know, the bottom of economic ladder in the nation. But I think with the cultural language and richness we have as Yupik people here in the region, I think we can come together to make changes here. So I'm looking forward for a meeting in Mountain Village, and I really appreciate Lauren Peterson, Chairman and CEO of Azacho Incorporated, for inviting me, and I look forward for being in Mountain Village. Another announcement is that Nunavut Alaska Provisional Government, on behalf of Sheriff Nick Tuk, the chairman, and Secretary Treasurer Nikki Hoffman, there's an announcement going out that if you are thinking about running for president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, you need to access the website to get a copy of the declaration for your candidacy, and it's going to close on September 30th. And those villages, the tribal villages that want to participate, it's up to each community to participate in the vote by the tribal citizens for the leadership, and also the treaty that was signed on September 3rd last month. And we're going to get the copies out, and it's in the, you know, we've been talking about this for almost 40 years that I've been around here, you know, of course, we've taken a look at the borough system, the first class, second class, and third class, and home rule, and other structures for the regional government. And we've also taken a look at the regional tribal government idea for years. And in looking at all of those with the economic conditions that we have, over 40 villages have decided on two things, strengthen AVCP or to have a constitutional government for the region. And I know that Senator Hoffman has introduced Senate Bill 18, which is for the energy cost reduction program that he's thinking about. And I think that's all good. But I think with this Nunavut, much like the Navajo Nation or Nunavut in Canada or in Greenland, they have taken taken their governments together and made changes in their lives and to exercise their self-determination. And it was economic development, police protection, and health care improved. But those are just my few comments, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Maybe a little bit too long.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe,
but thank
okay.
you. Thank you for the information.
And then we've got something on the screen.
Okay, yeah, so we have a couple people in the queue. Do you want to go to Wilson? And, you want to read the email real quick?
Email. Let me just read this real quick. It'll just take a second.
Great. Okay. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
Morning. We just got an email here. Free Rabies Clinic is tomorrow, Saturday's the 9th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring your dog, cat, or feral to the CHSB New YK building parking lot tomorrow for free rabies vaccine. Animals need to be older than 3 months of age. And also one more other, a lot of action going on. We got a message from BRHS. Today starting at 4 p.m. is junior high basketball starts at 4 o'clock at Gladys Jung. And Aniak and Kelskeg are here. So it starts at 4, goes up until 8:40 p.m. And also starting tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. And also volleyball at the BRHS, 7 p.m. BRHS Warriors against Nome Belt.
Oh, wow. So the Nome people are coming in to play volleyball, and tomorrow they'll be swimming at the swim meet.
Yes, so lots going on.
Now, what's great about those rabies shots that Carolyn just mentioned is it's also for the ferret.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, I thought you said feral. No, it's okay.
Did I say ferret or feral? I'm really tired. It's Friday.
No, but I didn't know that ferrets... I didn't know you could give rabies shots to ferrets.
Me neither.
But that's a great idea because ferrets can nip at you.
Yeah.
And they can contract rabies, so...
So this is really good. It's fall time when foxes tend to come out and get hungry and all that jazz. So,
Have
a great weekend.
Thank
great.
You.
Thanks.
So we'll go to Wilson. Thank you for waiting. Okay. Wilson has come back for round two.
Okay.
round two will be more on the idea of change and help.
Okay.
I talked with Zach Bansler the last time I saw him, and I got off work early today, so now I'm probably going to start doing what I can to pursue my thoughts and ideas of helping not only Bethel, but the surrounding 56 villages, in our area.
Uh-huh.
SB 91, they have some funds, and I'm going to put in a grant proposal for helping... reduce recidivism for people that are going in and out of jail because of alcohol or because of domestic violence. You know, I actually have a partner that him and I met about 2-3 times, and we need to meet again because we're trying to get this grant going to where all the different agencies that have to do with people that are on probation or getting out on parole or just first-time offenders, reactivating the Gudnick-style teaching for boys and men in all the villages. You know, I know Mike Williams and all those other leaders are listening, and it's always the same every time I hear the Yupik talk line, the respected elders talk about how it was back then. We can do it today. We can reactivate the style for teaching boys and men, and it also applies to a good woman getting taught, a young lady learning how to become a good woman from her aunties or grandmas. We just need to have a format of trying to come up with how we can work together with probation office here in Bethel or the court system. You know, cause right now we have a broken system, and everyone should know that, you know, it's broken. People just continually violate, and even if they violate their probation in the villages, there's no action that the tribal organizations can take against a community member to help them, not to get them in trouble, but to help them, mm-hmm. you know, intervention. So that's my thought, and I'm going to go over to the legislative office now and see what I can do about getting that package, because there's already preset packets in, and you just fill in the blanks on grants, you know, and that's what Jack Bansler told me. I can go over there and look into that, I don't have to type nothing out. It's nothing new. It's already there. You just have to fill in the blanks. Okay. I feel good about trying to do good for our people and, you know, stay sober, drug-free, and out of jail. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Wilson. That's really a nice initiative.
Yeah,
I wanted to say, after Mike's call, uh-huh. Mike Williams, that there is the University of Alaska is partnering with First Alaskans Institute, and they're having a tribal government symposium November 20, 21, 22 in Fairbanks. This is a forum to build knowledge, understanding, and relationship for the advancement of tribal governance. And they have scholarships for anyone who wants to apply. So you can go to the UAF Tribal Management website and look into that more. So I just thought, for those who are interested in tribal governance, that's a really great symposium.
Mm.
So, anyway, I think we are going to give out... Oh, so our lines are open.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give out the numbers, and then you have some announcements. So let's get this going. 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org, and we will keep you anonymous if you would like. You need to let us know that, and you can do that with calls or with email. We'll read your email over the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my big announcements is actually from here at KYUK and from our production, TV production crew. Eventually, we're going to be showing really old archive TV interviews that KYUK did years and years ago.
Wow.
I remember those. I was interviewing elders. Most of them are gone already. And it'd be on one of KYUK's TV channels eventually. Maybe one of the news people can call in and call us and tell us a little bit more. I just heard that. I know I'm getting interviewed about it because I was involved in those interviews.
That is awesome.
Right.
Oh, I would love to see those.
Oh, they're going to be beautiful. I saw previews of them. The other one I got is moose hunters coming back from hunting are gifting their catches with elders.
Mm.
I got gifted moose meat twice. And a bag of cranberries to boot. So I really appreciate those gifters to the elders, especially at Ayushpik. Now, I think we have...
Oh, we have a couple of callers lined up, so we'll go to them. But that's so nice. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is next on the line. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I got a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. One of them is what I talked about in Yupik in what's called Getfachtet with John. What I wanted to mention or just summarize what I mentioned about what we need to do or what I would like to see people do for the... I don't know how to put it, for wellness, for well-being other people. Doesn't matter what walk of life they come from. That is military action preparedness, like a nuclear war or something. Are we prepared for that? Is what I said in Yupik yesterday. I think it was yesterday. What we need to see in our villages, small villages, not too much of what doesn't make sense. We're in modern day, and we are hearing rumors of military action between our country and Korea. What we need to see in a community like Bethel and small villages is to see, make certain, and I hope local leaders are listening, make certain there's some kind of preparedness for catastrophic encounter, I call it encounter or experience. We need to have the schools and the community leaders involved in this and begin to talk about it. Because when I was a young man, we didn't have tools we got today, like in 1950s. But people were talking about fallout shelters. Maybe most of the villages don't make fallout shelters, but one of the good examples about the way I put it the other day or yesterday is that sod houses are very good options.
Mm-hmm.
Because in wintertime, they're very warm. It could be blizzard condition in wintertime, and it could be raining like crazy in summertime, and they're hardly affected, when they were built those days with what tools they had.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
The other one is I heard somebody mention about moose hunting in Russian Mission.
Yes.
And I'm from Russian Mission, and I know what local people want. Younger generation, not people who moved from other villages to Russian Mission, but the people who live there all their lives. They want to see conservation control over there because they know the moose is not going to be always there. Let me give you one very good example, and I hope this will be example for Kuskokwim as well.
Okay.
In 1961, in Unit 21E, which is about 40 miles upriver, 30, 40 miles upriver from Russian Mission, there was so much moose. You see moose every bend those days. When you camp, you hear antlers all around you, nighttime. And it was only for just that one year that happened. But now, for several years, Unit 21E is, there's some kind of conservation control up there. And let me also tell you about the time I used to work with Fish and Wildlife Service. I went up to I believe it was in Aniak. There was a meeting about conservation concerns about moose in that area. This was in probably 1980s, early 90s. They were asking fish and wildlife managers to conserve moose up in that area before it's too late at the time. But let's take a look at Unit 19A, 19B, or what have you up there, what kind of moose hunting conditions there is right now. And I just wanted to caution people that we need to have some kind of control irregardless of moose population. Moose population in my area, moose are not going to be starving in that area. There are a lot of trees and vegetation in the area for moose to survive. I wouldn't say the same thing in tundra, but in Russian Mission area, there's a lot of moose right now. But local people, even young people, are concerned about conserving these for the future use. And one other thing that I wanted to mention is that very much like Bethel area, hunters need to bring back their their trash, because in my area, in Marshall and Russian Mission, they're beginning to complain about trash that hunters leave out there.
Yeah.
So we need not only to be concerned about bringing our trash home, bring it to the closest village if you can't bring it back to Bethel or to a village.
Well, if you bring it to the village, make sure you put it in their trash bins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's no trash bins up there, you know.
No clue. So if you bring
out in the Bulaya between here and Ohagmit, where people go hunting in wintertime, I was told by one of the Caucasian friends from Bethel that my native allotment is going to be full of trash in a couple of years if nothing's done. And I never complain about that. It's right down the trail, winter trail. Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Alex.
Well, I think we're going to hear about the mini library and the books that is...
Yeah, Casey. Maybe this is that Casey. Yes, yeah. Good morning, Casey. Thank you for waiting. You're on Talkline.
Good morning, Diane and John.
Okay.
It's. I think it's not that Casey.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a different Casey. Okay.
But I will say Casey McDonald lives in Anchorage.
Oh,
so that's probably where that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Specify. Yeah.
So I'm calling for the fire department, and believe it or not, it's nothing to do with a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And
different.
But on Monday, of course, is 9/11,
mm-hmm.
And. We haven't done this before, but we are going to have a memorial event taking place most of the day on Monday. When you drive by the fire department, you'll see what we're going to set up there on Sunday night. It's kind of the one of the main themes of this, of course, is never forget. Not only the 2,996 people that mm-hmm. that died that day, but of that there was 343 fallen firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
And so with our memorial that we're going to set up, we're also going to have a sentinel posted for 343 minutes outside on Monday, rain or shine. They'll either be in their turnouts or in a uniform with a black armband. So that's going to be from noon till 5:43. Mm-hmm. And I do believe the JROTC is going to participate probably at the closing of this, mm-hmm. and so of course any community members that would like to show up at around that time, 5:43 p.m., mm-hmm. Are certainly invited. And this also, I think back in 2009, we're promoting a National Day of Service, and back in 2009, Congress designated September 11th as a National Day of Service and Remembrance. And let's see, I'm kind of reading here. Americans United in Service, and well, they're asking that Americans unite in service in the same remarkable way that so many came together following the attacks. And of course, this is also very pertinent to what's going on in the lower 48 as we speak, with the massive devastation that's happened in the Houston area and is about to happen in the Florida, possibly all of Florida, and not to mention all the Northwest that's on fire. And I'm going to read on this National Day of Service here. They have just a list here for 9/11. Consider spending a day today in service of others. Visit an elder. Give a friend a ride. Clean up a corner of the park. Mow your neighbor's yard. Well, that's probably not going to happen. Bring cookies to someone working overtime. Donate to a hurricane relief fund. Call a friend and tell them how special they are to you. Do the dishes for your mom. Cook dinner for your dad. Practice random acts of kindness once or for all day. For the anniversary, we want 9/11 to be the largest day of charitable service in U.S. history. And this was all part of the National Day of Service that Congress designated. So I think that about covers what I had to say.
Yeah, we never forget what we were doing and where we were that day.
Right.
Never.
Right. Yep. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Casey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, with all that, with all the disasters going on, Facebook is alight with all kinds of soothsayers preaching death and doom to everybody and scaring people, especially kids, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know what's really going on, and, you know, they don't know, but yet they're soothsaying stuff they don't know about.
Okay. Oh, I just saw that we have a couple of callers,
oh, good,
so we'll
okay.
go to them.
Yeah.
So, good morning, Martha. You're on Talk Line. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. How many policemen do we have here in town, and how many Alaska State Troopers? I'd like to know that, because there have been quite a few complaints coming from elderly people who call for police assistance from their home, disturbances by drunks. But the police never come. So it's getting to be, you know, make people concerned about those things, especially elderly people who can't help themselves.
Oh.
Just wanted to know.
Thank you for bringing
that
up, Martha. I don't know, but I know there's openings in the police department, but
right.
I don't know the staffing.
You know, I see a lot of patrol cars on the roads. I see quite a bit.
Right.
And then I used to have a phone that had a button on the back with a heart on it that I can press and the police would answer right away.
Well, that's nice.
Life.
Yeah. Like a life alert?
Yeah. Hey, I followed and I can't get up.
I'm having a hard time skinning
right.
this porcupine. Help.
Oh, man.
I know. You
I'll
went through
you
that last
that.
Night.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to bring Nasak from Nunap.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good yeah.
Thank you for waiting. Good morning.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly what I'm gonna stress and express from a reading a daily bread from May 2017, and for today the 8th Good Friday to me, and I'll just ram through. Just read.
Okay, so you're going to do a reading for us?
Just Yeah, just a reading and just for today, and because there's so much cluttered in my mind, things to do, and you name it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, go ahead and do your reading.
In this world.
Okay, go ahead.
It's the burden of waiting. Over the last few years, two members of my family have faced life-threatening diagnosis. For me, the hardest part of supporting them through their treatments has been the constant uncertainty. I am always desperate for a definitive word from a doctor, except but things are rarely that clarity. We are often asked to wait, period. It's hard to bear the burden of uncertainty, always wondering what the next test will reveal. Will we have weeks, months, years, or decades before death separates us? Except but, regardless of disease or diagnosis, each of us will die one day. Things like cancer just bring our mortality to the forefront instead of letting it hide in the recesses of our minds. Faced with sobering reminders of our mortality, I find myself praying words that Moses once prayed. Psalm 90 tells us that though our lives are like grass that withers and fades, we have an eternal home with God. Like Moses, we can ask God to teach us to number our days so we can make wise decisions and to make our belief lives fruitful by making what we do for Him count. Ultimately, the Psalms in the Holy Book reminds us that our hope is not in a doctor's diagnosis, except but in a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. And then to wrap it up, how can we best spend the time we've been given? And underneath this, share your thoughts with us at odb.org. And that man that mentioned fires just reminded me when I was a little flashback, some of it flashback, my papa, one of them was, he mentioned, of course, fires and earthquakes and what's going on now. And then houses, he said, Nahuhat, lots of houses,
okay.
Homes.
Hmm.
Okay. And on and on and on, and I am finished with that kinds of times. Just to remind people, in Galatians 5, those who read open the Bible now and then, 5 chapters 19, 20, 21 is 17 words of evil, and then 22, 23 is 9 words, so-called fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
Love, joy, peace, patience, in other words, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, meekness means gentleness, faith, and self-control, temperance.
Okay, so... Okay. Okay. Thank you, Nisak. And I don't see the screen. So I think our lines are open. And we have an email that Carolyn's going to read for us. Go ahead.
Okay, just a correction. Good morning. We just got an email here. We just need to make a correction. The swim meet for tomorrow, Saturday, is at 4:30, not 9 to 4:30. So correction.
Oh.
Swim meet is tomorrow, Saturday, is at 4:30.
It's 4:30 to 6:30. September 9th, but it's written here, they have September, but then the next line is 9 through 4:30. Okay, I get it now. 4:30 to 6:30 is the swim meet with the Gnome Swimmers. Okay, so we have Mary on the line. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to remind all the citizens of Bethel about the upcoming city council elections.
Oh, okay.
And I realize that Troy Williams and Tundi Rogers are running, and a bunch of people are rerunning again. But you know, like some people seek public seats, not to really help the citizens of Bethel and of the region, but what they really do run for is to get the services that come from serving for their immediate family and themselves. And actually, those people have no business running because, I mean, like, when we run for public seats, we're running because we want to help other people, right?
Well, Mary, I think, though, we don't really want to use talk line for personal attacking people, but Mary, what you could do, you could make a point. You don't have to mention any names. Mm-hmm. You could just make your point about what do you think makes a good person to run for our city council.
But what I think makes a person to run for city council is their sincerity in serving the public.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And to listen without being judgmental, mm-hmm. Listen to everybody. I mean, when I say everybody, I mean everybody.
Mm-hmm.
On a lot of issues, if they could look up what those issues concern and why they have been. A lot of citizens have been concerned about those. And the city councils have city codes that they are supposed to follow. And one of the reasons for that is to obtain money to run some of their services. Right?
Right.
And so let's keep those ideas in conditions. But I'm glad certain individuals are running. Like last meeting I went to, I couldn't believe it when this one council member, even though he has property within that area, kept asking everyone about the address of that area. And then when it came to alcohol-related misdeeds done by certain individuals, there had been like 11 alcohol-related accidents. And that I couldn't believe that person when he kept saying that 11 is not, I mean, not enough. I mean, 11 is a small number to be concerned about. But I think that 11 is a big number. Those kinds of things we be concerned about, because when we allow things to go on like this, it's like telling everyone it's okay to do, to break the law. And that's not right. And also, like, every parent, every aunt, every uncle, grandparent should be role models to their own children. And they'd be the first educators in everything that concerns life and to be a contributing community member. Okay, Kriano.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
For your call.
You know, it just dawned on me that Cesare hasn't called in. I think he's out moose hunting.
You know where he might be out mushroom hunting, too. I know he likes the mushroom, the tundra mushrooms.
Well, if he picks the right one.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he
knows.
Poisonous.
No. So our lines are open. We're going to give out the numbers again. And we have a couple more announcements, too. So the number you can call is 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 1-800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. They should put KYUK on their speed dial.
Really?
Yeah.
And they can call in or email us anonymously.
We'll read your email on the air. Okay.
Well, I do have good news from my end. I got a beaver, porcupine, and moose meat now.
Oh, my gosh.
All in the freezer.
Do you vacuum pack, wrap it in freezer paper?
Nah,
what's your process?
I eat them so fast I don't do vacuum.
Really? Oh, so you get through it.
And I cook them. I cook a bunch and bring them here.
I know.
The station and share it with
I've eaten some of your meals here. They're fantastic.
Goody. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's good to see or hear that hunters are gifting to the elders of their cache, and they're very, very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
especially grateful for moose meat I got and cranberries.
Nice.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Great. Well,
okay.
Yesterday we were skinning a porcupine very carefully.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Man, and we got all skinned, and so I'm drying out the skin now. And after it dries, then I'm going to pull out the quills and give them to the beaders who like to bead, make earrings.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Using the quills for earrings.
So
I've
we
seen
use
that.
Every part of the
yeah,
porcupine.
That's good.
And then I just found out that after you dequill the porcupine, you can cut a pattern of a Eskimo dancing headband.
Really?
With the fur sticking up.
Oh, I like that.
Very long, beautiful fur around its neck.
Yeah.
And back.
Interesting.
But it was so
perfect
cute,
for those headbands.
Poor little porcupines. Somehow to caught it, and of course I was glad to get it.
Yeah. I was going to mention, did you, and everyone should read this at the KYUK news site.
KYUK.org,
and read about the archaeological dig that's happening down in Quinnahock. And climate change is eroding the shoreline and the bank.
Yeah.
And what's coming out are all these artifacts. They have since 2009, I think, they've been digging there every summer. And they've got over 70,000 artifacts. Some of them are 700 plus years old.
Yeah.
And the permafrost, which is melting now, but had been preserving masks, toggles, harpoon spears, perfectly, even grass had been kept, hair from dogs, hair from people.
Yeah.
And the archaeologist, Dr. Knick, gave a talk on Monday at KUC, and he said that it's really amazing. They have found an underground house with five separate rooms that branch out where it looks like different family units may have lived. And another interesting thing is he talked about how they have found very few animal bones in the area. And this goes to the idea of trash, because the tradition, of course, is to take care of bones properly. So you have to bury them or return them to where you got them or return them to the ocean, depending on where you live. And that must have been such a strong practice that at this archaeological dig, wherever they're finding all these artifacts, they find very few animal bones, except dog. They do have some dog bones.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, our tradition is to bury the bones from land that we caught where we won't step on them or they'll disappear. On the coast, seal hunters, after they've eaten the seal, they save all the bones, and then when they go out into the ocean, they put them back into the ocean, the bones.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are really beautiful practices that are earth-saving, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very connected to the environment.
And
anyway.
The other thing is when they carved ivory, there was the archaeologists didn't know where they got the idea to carve what looked exactly like chain link.
Right. Yeah. Ivory. Yeah.
So they figure that maybe a ship that had gone down in the ocean somewhere, some of the chain was still stuck on the ivory and floated to that area.
And that's how
people made copies of it.
So interesting.
With ivory.
Anyway, that dig is going to continue next summer as well. They're starting to pack up now to leave. We have Harry on the line. Thank you for waiting, Harry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys looked at the ADN, I think yesterday or this morning, I think, you know, all them proposed roads in the North Slope area.
Mm-hmm. I saw that, yes. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
I don't know, but bringing that up, I think, you know, if I was into politics and all that, I'd push for a Yukon-Kuskokwim corridor, just, you know, a road connecting these two rivers. And I'm sure that'd be one way of controlling the moose population on the Yukon side, because, you know, I'm sure there'd be people hauling their boats over there to do some moose hunting. And sure, there's whole tons of moose over there that I know, in fact, that the locals on the Yukon don't really like to shoot small ones. They say they want big ones, but around here, since we harvest what shows up, if it's the antlered bull, spike fork, we get it. So same thing, it would help out this side of the river getting their harvest quota fall time. If there was a corridor between the Yukon and the Kuskokwim.
And then us guys or some men who go hunting could drive over there instead of boat because it costs so much.
That can happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we just need to contact our representatives and whoever. But I just had to bring that up for a talk.
Harry said years ago here at KYAK, there was a forum broadcast on the radio and TV. It went all day. And they were talking about corridors. And people who came, a lot of them, from even in the villages, were all against it. All against it. So whoever proposing that just quit, dropped it.
Well, now there's a proposal up in the Arctic National Refuge area, in the whole northern area there, to have a road system. And it would be more than one road. It would go all the way across, and then another road kind of southern going all the way across. Now, there are other people who have a lot of concerns about that, the environmental consequences of that kind of construction and traffic, and then, you know,
how it would affect the animals.
Yeah, the animals, the environment there. So, anyway, I did see that article. About that.
You know, years ago here in Bethlehem, there was talk about building a road from here to Napakiak. That never happened.
No. So I think still have to kind of live within the means that we have.
It's fall time, and in the fall like this, mice and spiders like to move into our houses.
Uh-oh.
So do you have any mice or spiders?
You know, I have a sad story about that.
Oh, no.
Because I have had some little mice living outside, and they like to eat the bird food that falls out of the bird feeder. But I also have water big barrels that are collecting rainwater. And what the mice do, I think you know where I'm going with this. They run along the edge of the house, the edge of the skirting.
Uh-huh.
They tumble into the water, and I have found some floaters.
Poor.
Oh, I had to go buy I want to buy cheesecloth to cover them now, because my saddest one was a mom and her baby.
Poor.
Oh, it was so sad. It was terrible. And so I actually choked up on that one. I didn't like to see that. So I have to cover my my barrel. Although some people might say, yay, that's the mouse catcher, or your barrel of rainwater. But I didn't really like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have Mr. Robert Hoffman on the line. Good morning, sir. Welcome to Talk Line.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I heard them talking about corridors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about it, we're the only ones in the whole United States with no roads. We're the only ones, 56 villages stuck in our villages due to high costs of taking a plane and go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck in our villages. We're a 56-village reservation. We're stuck. We can't go nowhere. In the meantime, everybody gives us, we hear about the highest costs on earth. Fuel, food, everything.
Mm.
I'll bet you if they build a corridor out toward the east, we will have very few businesses making any money anymore in our region. We'll all go by.
Drive.
Uh-oh. Did we lose? Oh, there we go.
Are you listening?
Yeah, we lost you for a second there,
good.
But you're back. You're back now. Go ahead.
Good. We have very, very access to the cheap stuff over there to the east. Everybody will get to go vacation. Everybody will get to go tourism year round instead of using us as a reservation stuck. 56 villages, the majority of the communities can't even leave their village ever. The cost of leaving is so expensive here in our region. If they open a corridor, I can bet you that things are going to change. The cost of living will go down quickly. If it doesn't, we'll drive to Anchorage and buy our groceries and all our stuff from the cheapest place we can get to. That's why, thank God, it's only me thinking I'm on a reservation. Only me, because I can't go nowhere. The cost of going anywhere is too expensive. We can never get united by being divided, because we can't get to each other. If they build roads to the 56 villages, that would be a first step in getting united. We'll be able to go visit our ancestors, our relation, our kin, whenever we want. We could even go to church in Mountain Village if we feel like we want to go to church in Mountain tomorrow.
Hmm.
By keeping us on the reservation, we have the highest costs of everything. The highest cost to go fly, it costs almost $100 to fly to Quesic, 20 miles upriver.
Yeah.
Holy cow, boy, they're really draining the pockets. Yeah, but if they build a corridor, I think that will help the region. I think so. But that's only me, you know, and I'm glad it's only me thinking that way. Thank you.
Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah. Good. Pretty good idea. And maybe the price of food would go down here, too, if they're able to truck it in.
Easier,
you know?
Yeah.
It would work that way, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to announce that I know it's not KYUK's station, but it's shown on our satellite system here. Former Senate Chairman and State Legislator Clem Tillion will be on KTVA's Horizons, hosted by Ron McBride, this Sunday. And he's going to be talking about continuing the permanent fund, not to draw on it too much.
Mm.
So that'll be interesting. Alex calling back. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Alex. Welcome to
Talk. Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something about road systems. Mm-hmm. Road system has been opposed in some of the villages in the Yukon River. And there's some reason for that. It is good, you know, the previous caller's comments are very good about getting the cost down on groceries and other supplies that are flown to the villages.
Yep.
But there is something that needs to be considered in that rather in the road systems. When it comes to federal government subsistence program management, people who choose to live in a road system like between here in Yukon River and between the villages, when it comes to the consideration of subsistence opportunity in the area, you know, right now, we can go hunting almost any time we want to for a small game. But if it's put in a road system, the populations, most likely the population of the people in the connected road system will be added in that eligible, rather population level that makes people eligible for subsistence hunting and fishing. For example, you know, we had, there was a meeting here a couple of years ago about that, when there's regional advisory council meeting here. Mm-hmm. They were telling people in the area and the people of Bethel that Bethel is going to be reaching population of 7,000. When the population level for Bethel reaches 7,000 people, it will be considered, they will begin to talk about whether or not people who reside in Bethel, choose to live in Bethel, are eligible for subsistence hunting and fishing under federal program. What that means is that I won't explain it because I'm probably way behind in what federal government did last 3 years that I've been retired from government work. Mm-hmm. But connected roads will be considered not much difference between Anchorage and the communities that are connected to the big town.
Yeah, because I think when the population of Bethel grows, isn't it that it changes? It could change its status.
Yeah.
And therefore be under a different set of subsistence guidelines because of our population number.
Yes, not only Bethel, but all other villages that are connected to Bethel.
To the road system.
So, it's not going to be tomorrow that. The government is going to change its regulations. It takes in a long process to change the government rules and regulations and policies because they have what's called comment portal. For example, if we want to change hunting and fishing regulations between Yukon and Kuskokwim, you know, if there's a road there, people from lower 48s will also... Comments from Lower 48 could possibly considered whether or not it would be beneficial for general public. I could be wrong, but you know that's how the government works. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the state of Alaska works, but. I could almost guarantee that hunting and fishing will become a little more difficult because people in Yukon River will probably put restrictions on hunting and fishing in that area, because there will be more people coming in the area, and they could restrict their land holdings rather, very much like upriver, Kuskokwim. Those are my comments.
Okay.
Good morning.
Thank you, Alex.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go right to Renee. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have three things to share with you today. The first one being, maybe four things. The first one being a chili cook-off. So if you make a great chili, please consider entering it in the cook-off, which is scheduled for September 22nd.
Now, do you already have your judges?
You know, you have to call Teresa at the,
at the library.
And her number is 543-4517. And she's coordinating that. So if you make the best chili in town, or at least you think, call Teresa and sign up. 4515.
John's so excited because he's going to enter a... do you want to be a taster? Or you want to be a judge, or you're going
to
enter?
I love to be a judge.
Somebody's
cooking for a change.
Yes. Okay, call Teresa at the library.
Right.
Great.
And then we have a Saturday market coming up on the 23rd, so be prepared for that, followed by a Bethel Live. So if you've got some... you like to sing karaoke, or you've got... want to come do some poetry or whatever, call Grady. He's at 543-4548. He will take your name for the Bethel Live.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 30th is the annual Kuskokwim Art Guild Steel, Salmon, and Raven Auction.
And I'm the auctioneer.
Yes, you are. You and Shane, and I think somebody else from KYUK is going to be our main auctioneers, and I'm really excited about you guys doing this.
We had fun last year doing
it. Yeah.
Because I was doing commenting in Yupik a lot.
Yes, John, that was
and
awesome.
Shaney was doing his English
shtick. His English stick.
Yeah.
That English thing he does.
And, you know, we made he and I, because of our...
Rapport,
whatever that means, happened to make the most money during that auction ever.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Yes, you guys are great.
It was
fun. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Mm. So September 30th.
That's September 30th, and the tickets are on sale at the gift shop here at the Cultural Center. Mary Woods is our gift shop person, so you can stop by and pick up tickets
there.
Oh, yeah,
I have to buy a couple tickets to that.
Yeah, and it's the Creole... we're having a Creole dinner this year. We might have special beverages.
Wait a minute.
Of course.
Wait, what do you mean special beverages?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Do you mean of a...
we're thinking about it.
Okay. Now, Creole, is it Tiffany's catering or something else?
Samantha Buckley is our... and she's from the Louisiana area and New Orleans. She's got the authentic Creole dinner that she's going to be putting together for us, so it's going to be really, really nice. I'm very excited about having this.
Wow.
So you can count on there being some shrimp and some other things, you know, like, I don't know, gumbo, maybe some jambalaya, who knows.
Yeah, okay.
She's got our whole wonderful menu figured out for us, so everybody's going to really like that.
Cool.
And then the last thing I want to mention is that on the 28th is our monthly family movie night. We show a family-oriented movie. It's, I believe, free admission, and we just encourage folks to come. And again, you'd get a hold of Teresa in the library for particulars. I don't know that they've picked out the movie yet, but it will be a family-oriented movie, and that's on the 28th. So any questions, call any of us, stop by the Cultural Center, library, or me, or Grady, and we'll give you or Mary in the gift shop, we'll give you the lowdown.
Wow, as usual, so much going on in Bethel.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Renee.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Creole food, wow.
Creole, yeah. Some down-home Louisiana, Cajun.
Mm-hmm. And chili? Awesome. Chili cook-off?
Chili cook-off, yeah. All right. Okay. Gregory, you're on Talkline. Good morning.
Good morning to one and all.
Good morning, Gregory.
I'm puzzled. Well, it reflects on Daniel Webster's dictionary. And let's take the sentence. Well, let's take these two animals, a goose and a moose. Okay. Singular and plural. Oh, gosh, there's a lot of goose. And, oh, wow, I just saw a goose. And now let's take a look at the moose. I just saw a moose. And take it plural. There's a lot of moose. Now, I'm wondering what was going on with Daniel Webster's mind there when one goose and then two geese. Then there's one moose and then two moose.
So
why not make it meese?
Well, we had a caller earlier today who did make it meese, so
yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah. There goes my ears for you.
Meese moot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for the morning sunrise and for the smile.
All right. Thank you, Gregory.
Okay.
For your call.
Talk about pluralizing certain things. We Upit have three ways to describe certain things.
Yeah.
We have one word for one, then there's two or more, and three or more to describe certain things.
Oh, okay. Three levels of grouping.
Yeah.
Kind of like we have single,
mm-hmm.
we have pair,
mm-hmm.
we have trios,
yeah.
we have groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, Stella. Welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Stella? My name is Sarah, not Stella.
Oh, sorry. They spelled it out to me, Stella. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want everybody to know that we are having a madness sale today at Swanson's in the main store and at the hardware.
Oh.
And if anybody's interested, I have search and rescue tickets for sale, too.
Hmm.
Oh, cool.
The main store at Swanson's. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that information.
Okay.
Anybody else have any other information that they want to share can call in that we only have about... now, that clock up here is wrong, right?
Yeah, so we have about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 10, 11 minutes. So our lines are open. I'm going to give the numbers again. They're 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org, and you can remain anonymous on any of those. Mm-hmm. It looks like Caleb has called. Good morning, Caleb. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yeah.
Good morning.
It happens in Anchorage, Fairbanks, all over. Why not let it happen here?
What's
you
that?
Know, they can build a bridge here and there, the road.
You mean a road system?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Road systems.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, Guyana, thank you, Caleb. Bye. All right, Guyana.
Well, that was, talking about corridors again.
Yeah, road systems.
Yeah, anybody want to call in? You have a few more minutes to call in.
Our lines are
phone
open.
Lines are open. Share your moose hunting story, somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I see lots of pictures on Facebook. I mean, people are not
even young
having
kids.
A lot of problem with that. I think they're actually going to reach the moose quota for the unit is coming up pretty quick, actually. They're getting, I think.
But it's nice to see young people catching their first moose.
Yeah.
And, I'd love to be in the village where a young kid caught their first moose.
Yeah, and brings it back.
Because they have a lot of feasting going on.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have William. William, welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I want to see how accurate these fishing game guys are. They complain about and go against us fishing and give us regulations and all that. And now I would like to have them know that one of my boys has been doing a lot of hunting towards the north side of Bethel and yesterday with Folkville. And yesterday they came home and they were talking about running into a moose cop back there that couldn't help himself, and they even had to pet him and try to get him up there on the fishing game to do anything about that now. You know someplace back there. I don't know how to get a hold of fishing game, but if they're concerned there, they're probably eaten up by games back there already, but that was yesterday. They were trying to help him jump on his feet, and some cop was injured back there, and back to the north. But anyway, I wonder if those guys, if they're listening, they can do anything about it, or just let the country eat them up. That's all I wanted to say. Good morning, guys.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. That was interesting. Was it an injured young moose he was talking about?
Oh, I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, I think it was an injured moose
where?
Somebody ran into. I don't know where the hunters were, but they tried to help him. And I think he was saying that they had some canned milk, I guess, and tried to feed it because it was too weak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I thought I heard. And we have Beverly.
Good morning, Beverly. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hi, good morning, you guys.
Oh,
Beverly.
Hey, Beth.
Wow, that was a great play last night.
I heard that. I didn't get to go, but I heard it was a great play.
Neither did I.
There were so many things going on in Bethel. There
yep.
was that event at the Culture Center, but I'm glad I made the play, and I was really proud of Gary Beaver and Ryan and all the other people involved. But a big shout out to Judy Wojcierski for kind of pulling it together for Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, when people talk about there's nothing to do in Bethel, I always laugh.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to do in Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, one thing I'm really excited about, I haven't been able to listen to Talkline this morning, but one thing I was really excited about is that tomorrow at 4:30, we're having the first ever Bethel Warrior Swimming. People talking about that today?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that.
Well, I meant, we brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, good. And,
first ever.
I don't know that I ever envisioned that when we were first starting to try and get a pool here in Bethel so that people would grow up learning how to swim. But it's pretty exciting, and I'm really hoping that the Warriors will get a good turnout and welcome the Nome Nanook swim team to Bethel. And as people go out, if you're on the gravel bars and sandbars, bring trash bags and pick whatever you see off the bars. We got to keep our land and waters clean, and folks, stay safe. And my heart goes out to all the folks that are dealing with Hurricane Harvey, and now Irma is just going to hit, and we all have friends that live all over the place that will be affected by that. But be thinking of them this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some people from Bethel that live out on Puerto Rico. I hope they were okay. I haven't heard otherwise.
Yeah, you can only hope for these folks that they're in safe places. But you too have a wonderful weekend, and Brianna for being on Talkline.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had
Shaddy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, Shaddy hung
there
in there.
Are.
I like that. All right, Shaddy, what's up?
Just calling to give the class schedule. So all of our new classes started this week.
Yeah.
For anybody that didn't know. And the big ones starting this weekend, and I promised Warren I would mention them, our judo program is starting this weekend, starting
great.
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So our women's self-defense class starts tomorrow at 1:15. So if anybody in the community, any females in the community looking to learn how to defend yourself a little better, come on over to the facility. That class will cost you $47, so it's pretty affordable for seven classes.
I'm out of that.
Are you going to go?
I'm out of that because I got a fractured. What is this again?
He's got a fractured arm. But, you're not going to go to the women's self-defense class, John. But then you can go to the judo class.
John could come to the men's class on Sunday at 2. So we have all of our other classes on, or all of our other judo classes starting Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. So that's our beginner, our intermediate, and our advanced classes. And patrons can register right at the front desk. and they can jump in those programs.
Okay.
All of our other programs are rocking and rolling. We still have some classes starting this weekend, like our family boot camp class, which is a family exercise class, so parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
cool.
A new one for us.
Uh-huh.
And some of our dance classes actually start next week.
Great.
So our jazz and our tap dance classes start next week, and our music classes. So guitar and ukulele will start next Monday as well.
Oh, this is so cool. It's a real recreation center. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do.
Now, I noticed that you guys are going to be open 5 days a week. Monday through Friday, you open at 5:30. Is that right?
Yep. So we're actually open 7 days a week.
Yeah,
we're going to be open every day, and now we're going to actually start Monday through Friday at 5:30 in the morning.
And then Saturday and Sunday, you start at the same time, 10 a.m.
Actually changed. Saturdays we used to open at 9 a.m., but now we open at 10 a.m.
And just
both
kept,
weekend
yeah.
days.
That's good. That's less confusing. All right. Great. Seven days a week. 5:30. Now, do you get the 5:30 shift,
old
right?
Old guys, we get
the 5:30. Yep, I work the 5:30 shift.
Yeah, Shaggy's going to be there.
Uh-huh. But us old guys do get up real early.
Right.
At 2:30 and 5.
Now you have a place to go.
Oh, yeah. People have places to go instead of just sitting around watching TV like I do, waiting for the work to start.
Okay, so, thank you, Shaddy, for the report.
Yeah, no problem at all.
A ton going on. Thank you so much.
Also, half-price weekend still.
Oh!
So that's still going on. Just thought I'd mention that, too. Mm-hmm.
Good one. Yeah.
Yep. Take care, guys.
All right, take
Bye.
Care. Bye.
We have 3 minutes.
We have
more?
About 3 minutes. So, John
minutes
Carter, good morning. Welcome to Talk Line. You have just a few minutes. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm John Carter. I'm going to be talking about what Alec was talking about. What he said is quite true. On this subject, there are three obstacles the construction company must look into, and that is federal, state, and private. Mm. So building a road here in the state of Alaska, especially to the village road system, takes process, and the completion would be 100 years. The easement is another problem, the easement part. For example, the road system proposed down at Kodiak, it wasn't completed overnight or the comprehensive studies. And according to my understanding, it hasn't been even begun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
Well, John's always clear and to the point when he makes his call. All right, so that's it for Talk Line for today.
Boy, there's
September
time is
8th.
Short.
It went by fast.
It goes fast.
Yeah, thank you everyone for calling, listening.
And I like the comments from people that they say you and I are a team, and they laugh and enjoy us.
That's nice.
So I'm glad, yeah.
Very nice, yes. Yeah. So we'll hear from you again next week, everyone. Have a great weekend. It's brightening up here in Bethel, so we hope for a nice weekend.
Yeah, thank you
Have a good day. Express yourself.